Hi, I'm Adam, and welcome back, finally, to the Raw Room podcast. It's been quite a long time. In fact, a very, very long time since I have done one of these podcasts, but I really want to bring it back. Podcasting is something I've been interested in for a very long time. I listen to loads of them, I have done for years, and my journey in podcasts has been quite up and down. I started, well, it is this podcast, but I renamed it. It was originally the First Man Photography Podcast. Then I started the Photo Nerds, which got success pretty quickly, but just didn't really, it wasn't working out really longer term. But I do still want to do something in the podcasting space. And I'd really just like to know what you would like from a photography podcast, because I listen to some, and to be honest, I find them a little bit boring. The sort of endless interviews are sometimes a little bit dry to listen to. So I wanted to be something a little bit more entertaining. But I do want to do interviews. I like talking to photographers. I like hearing those different perspectives. But if you can recommend some people that are good to listen to, have something to say, are inspiring, that's what I want to hear here. I want to be around and hear from people that are going to inspire me, whether it's through what they say or their work or what they've done. Then that's really what that's what I like to hear about. That's what I like to surround myself with, because I get something out of it as well. And it feeds me to continue moving forward and being creative and just getting the most out of life, which I guess is what it's all about. Now, I think to have some discussion on this podcast, probably the best place to do it is on Twitter. I am at Adam Carnach on Twitter. Probably just search First Man Photography and hopefully you'll find it. My surname is not easy to spell or easy to say if you read it. So that's why I was First Man Photography in the first place. But yeah, search for me on Twitter, give me a follow, and we'll have some conversation there. I've got to be honest, I am, like many other photographers at the moment, essentially jumping onto the Twitter bandwagon. I've been on Twitter for a long time, obviously, but usually all I do on there is post anything I put on Instagram and YouTube, and I don't really do all that much engagement on there. But photographers and photography seems to be getting a push on Twitter recently, and it seems like quite a good place to talk to people about photography and see images, especially now they've changed the rules about resolutions and aspect ratios and all that kind of thing. You're actually seeing some pretty good photography on Twitter. There's also a few interesting conversations coming up. Usually it descends into bickering, but that is the Twitter landscape, isn't it? So let's see what happens on there. If you give me a follow, I'll get involved in a few conversations now and again if I've got something to add. Sometimes I don't, or sometimes I do, and I choose not to engage because it's Twitter, isn't it? And it gets a bit silly. Anyway, what else? So I don't really have anything planned for this podcast. I just thought I would jump back on, say hi, and get a feel for it again. I'd quite like to do this every week, maybe every few days, just to get some stuff off my chest, really, that isn't sort of going to work on YouTube or social media. It just feels good to talk to you and share a few things that I've been thinking, and hopefully now and again it will offer a little bit of insight. So I just thought I'd let you know what I have been doing recently. The YouTube videos have been sporadic, to say the least. And that's just because I've been so busy doing so many other things, not least being, trying to be a good dad and good with my family. And it's some holidays now, so that sort of continues. So I've been working on a couple of corporate jobs that happily are landscape photography based. So that's been nice. I really don't have any interest whatsoever anymore in doing any photography work that isn't landscape. That's just developed more and more over the last few years. I've given up doing weddings, and I'm really not taking any pictures really that aren't landscapes. Any portraits I do, I'm just doing with my phone with my friends and family, and just really struggling to find the motivation to take my camera out with me unless I'm doing landscape photography. As a result of that, my shutter count has dropped way down, which is not something I would recommend. I always say you should keep your shutter count high to keep your skill level there. I think that's probably something I need to sort out or start going out and doing more landscape photography again, which is definitely part of the plan, and make more videos about it. But my book that I have released very recently has taken up so much time. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed writing it and making it and having the book actually produced. I'm very, very proud of it, but the shipping and self-publishing and distribution has just been awful. It's partly because it's been tricky with some of the international shipments, particularly to Europe, with all the Brexit stuff, books getting stuck in customs through no fault of my own or the customer, delays and things like that. Very frustrating, very nerve-wracking for me, because I want people to get the book and I want it to be good, and I want the purchasing experience from me to be smooth and stress-free for people. And there's a few occasions when it hasn't been. So that has been quite tricky. It's just taking loads of time to pack the books and ship them and figuring all that out, because I was totally new to that. It's the first book I have ever released. And it's been thoroughly, thoroughly challenging. And I haven't quite got that sense of satisfaction from it all yet. So I'm hoping that will come. Definitely satisfied with the actual book itself, though. But from a business point of view, I haven't quite experienced that satisfaction yet. But let me just tell you very briefly about the book, because I don't think everybody's heard about it yet. It is a photo book, and it contains my images from the last, 5 years or so. Images I'm really, really proud of, and images that you may be familiar with if you've been watching my videos for a long time. But I wanted it to be something a bit different to all the other photo books out there. Something that was going to give me a little unique selling point or USP. So I sort of delved into my history as a police officer, share a lot of stories, or some stories, from the streets. Funny things, exciting things, horrific things, emotional things. These are all the things that have turned me into the person and into the photographer that I am today. It helped me form a philosophy towards life. This is my outlook, I suppose, which I try and take that energy straight into my landscape photography. So it's essentially those experiences I had as a police officer have led to the photos that you see in the book. And I go into some detail about some of the stories, things that police officers experience, how I transitioned to being a full-time photographer, all that sort of thing. So I think I'm really happy with it. And the feedback I've had from people that have read it so far has just been incredible, particularly from ex-police officers, some of them who I know, many of whom I don't. And it's really been really nice that police officers from many other countries, it's resonated with them as well, and they've got in touch to say how similar their experience was as well. So that's really nice to hear. And if you can't be bothered reading it, then there's some really nice pictures for you there as well. If you want to check that out, go to firstmanphotography.com. Just click on the store button and then the book is right there. I think if you go to the website anyway, firstmanphotography.com, a pop-up should come up where you can get to the book from there. But your support in purchasing that book will keep the lights on here, allow me to do things like this podcast, which doesn't make me any money whatsoever. It'll let me keep doing all that stuff that hopefully you're enjoying and getting something out of. So that's the plug of the book over. Let's move on to what else I've been doing. Yeah, let's talk about YouTube, because I have been seeing a pattern on YouTube from long-time creators, from the big to the small, and they all seem to be talking about the similar things that I've been feeling, which is, I don't know, I guess some frustrations with the platform and being a creator. Being creative, I think it's important to keep pushing the boundaries and keep doing and trying new things and evolving over time. And the YouTube platform doesn't necessarily allow you to do that if you want to maintain some sort of reasonable views or money coming in if you've made it your full-time job. It wants you to do the same thing over and over and over again. And in the photography space, that is tutorials. So doing tutorials is a natural way to get into YouTube, but then you start doing that and it then just want the algorithm wants you to do that again and again and again and again. And it's frustrating. And that is why about, well, how long ago, 18 months, 2 years ago now, I started The Raw Room, because I just didn't want to do that tutorial stuff on YouTube, because you've got to be so concise with it. But I think sometimes to give a good lesson, it needs to be detailed. And that wasn't really sitting well on YouTube. So that's why I started The Raw Room. If you wanted to learn photography from me, that Raw Room platform is there, ad-free, masterclasses, all that kind of thing. So then I decided I was going to do more of the vlogging and creative and storytelling stuff on YouTube. And that's kind of what I've done. But over the last year, 18 months, my views have dropped sensationally. It's been unbelievable how much my channel has gone down. But thankfully, other stuff I've been doing has allowed me to continue in that vein. Whereas I think some other channels have been chasing those views, and you get some content that gets repetitive, if that's fair. Titles that include numbers in every video. I've done some of that. I'm not really criticizing. It's just, if you watched enough YouTube, it starts to get a little bit cynical and the content doesn't always feel authentic. But I'm sympathetic, because it's difficult to come up with videos every week. And that's another problem with YouTube, is that the algorithm insists almost on you doing regular content. If you do less than one a week, then your channel seems to get punished. And that isn't the best way to be creative. I would much rather take my time and say make 12 really great videos a year. Something that's adventurous and inspiring and tells a story that's taken some time to film and some thought to produce and a little bit more time in the editing room as well, so you can put something really quite special together. And YouTube just doesn't provide the platform for that. I mean, YouTube's great. I'm not complaining, really. It's just limited in where you can go creatively. And I'm seeing this from everyone, from Peter McKinnon, myself, I think possibly Thomas Heaton as well, my friend Andrew Marr, and down to the smallest creators who have come up with some great content but then almost just disappeared because there is really no benefit to continuing to make these videos. I'm hoping that YouTube will evolve, that quality will begin to rise to the top again, which it did initially with YouTube, but I think we've lost some of that more recently. It's why I love podcasts as well, because you publish them yourself, essentially. They're not sort of bound to one platform. And yeah, I think quality rises to the top a little bit more with podcasts, which may well not suit this podcast very much, but hopefully you're finding some of this interesting. And I want to develop this podcast into something more, have discussions with other photographers, not necessarily even an interview, just get a photographer on to discuss a topic. One topic I'm really interested in at the moment is NFTs, the good, the bad, the ugly, the exciting. The whole space is extremely interesting. I'm being patient, I'm reserving judgment, but it's an interesting space. There's no doubt about that. I would recommend you look up what NFTs are and start just getting a feel for what it means, because it's coming, whether you like it or not. It's going to be huge eventually. I think it's in a bubble now that will burst, but it's something I'd like to discuss in detail on this podcast, probably in a discussion maybe with someone like Paul G. Johnson, who I know is also looking at this space with wide-eyed curiosity like me. And I think it'd be a good chat with him to just talk about NFTs and some of the pitfalls and money grabbing and all of the sort of stuff that seems to be going on in with a technology that has a lot of potential that goes, in fact, way beyond the art or photography space. Anyway, something worth looking at. What else I've written down? Click another, just popping back to YouTube, the clickbait titles. Talked about it a little bit already, but I have been tweaking my titles and thumbnails in the last couple of months because it makes such a big difference to the views. I'm not a big fan of the clickbait titles, but some just seem to click sometimes. They just seem to work, but I've been trying it. But what I'm trying to do is give or come up with a slightly clickbaity title, but then hiding quality content within that video. At least that's what I'm hoping to do. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. And yeah, trying to be as open and honest as possible with people. One of the other issues with these platforms like YouTube is that they are advert driven. And that's an ecosystem that we, or me as the creator, and everybody else, including me as the viewer, have to operate in. And there's been complaints recently on my channel about the ads. Now, YouTube recently changed a few things behind the scenes where it's now automatically putting videos in the middle, or adverts, sorry, in the middle of videos. And if you change that, then the algorithm isn't going to like you. So I've just gone with it. Accepted that that is something that YouTube now do. That's then mixed in with some of my Squarespace ads. So there are adverts there. There are. And I'm not a big fan of ads, but that's the system. That's the platform that we're operating on. So what I was thinking was that I want to offer these things ad-free because I don't like ads, but you've got to pay for the content if you want that. There's a lot of content I pay for. I saw a really funny tweet the other day from Ricky Gervais, who I really enjoy. I listened to his podcast series that he did with Sam Harris, and I think it costs about £12 for a good few hours of really, really solid content. I didn't have a problem paying for that, but it's clear that a lot of people do. They expect it to be free. And one guy jumped on Twitter, all sort of aggrieved and on his high horse, tweeted Ricky Gervais and said, "Why do I have to pay for your podcast?" And Ricky Gervais just replied, "You don't. You don't." That's what that really made me laugh, is that you don't have to pay for it, do you? You don't need to listen to it. It's not for everybody, but it's, I think Netflix is good because it's got people used to paying for content. It's obviously still got some issues, but I'm not a big fan of the free model driven by ads because I think it's leading to this clickbait. It's leading to this desperation from the mainstream media to get clicks, and it drives a lot of the terrible discourse and division that we see in society. I honestly believe a lot of that comes from these ad-driven platforms like YouTube and like Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. So that's why I love podcasts so much, because it just feels much more honest. Like I was saying, I want to offer these, some of the videos I'm doing, ad-free. So I think what I'm going to start doing is, as well as publishing my video or my weekly video on YouTube, I'm going to also put it out on the Raw Room in addition to the tutorial content. So what I'm going to do is put 5 or 10 of the most recent videos on the Raw Room, completely ad-free. You might get a plug for my book now and again, but there won't be any Squarespace ads. There won't be any kind of pre-roll ads that YouTube delivers. It'll just be the same content, but ad-free. And it will possibly go out before it does on YouTube. So you get like exclusive early access to those videos. So I think it's something I'm going to work towards in the next week or so. With the Raw Room, then I'm then going to put loads more new content on there. I've been so preoccupied with the book that I haven't had a chance to create much new content. A drink of water. But I've got a new masterclass planned, something that's going to be called something along the lines of the Art of Photography Masterclass. I don't want to call it the Art of Photography because there's a well-known photography channel that has that already. So, but that's essentially what it's going to be, the Art of Photography Masterclass, where we talk about some of the artistic elements and fundamentals that we can apply to our photography to take, hopefully, better photographs. So I need to get that into production in the next month or so. And then I've got a few other little tutorials that I can bash out really quickly. I'm hoping I'll be able to bring the photo challenge back. So the Raw Room is going to be a big focus, if not my main focus, over the next coming months, depending what other stuff comes up. But it's my long-term strategy. It's my long-term passion to make the Raw Room into something essential, I guess, for photographers, and to get other great photographers on there doing tutorials. I'm in discussions with a few photographers at the moment of how I can compensate them for their time and knowledge. So yeah, check the Raw Room out as well. rawroom.co.uk, or just Raw Room. I don't think I have rawroom.com yet. I feel like I'm just rambling now. I have nothing else on my list, so I will leave you with that. Let me have any ideas that you want me to talk about, or people that you want me to interview or talk with. Any questions you might have that you think would lead to an interesting discussion on this podcast. The more you get in touch with me, the more it feeds and inspires me and gives me ideas to create content with that you can then listen to me ramble on while you're driving somewhere or walking up a hill or editing photographs or wherever else you consume your podcasts. I might start filming it on YouTube as well and putting it out on a sort of specialized podcast channel. And hopefully this podcast will grow into something where I can convince some superb people to come to Leeds into my studio and be interviewed in person. Because I think it's better when it's in person, isn't it? With interviews, Skype's fine and Zoom or whatever. But it's just a different dynamic when you get somebody in a room and you can have a really good chat with them. One last thing that I should mention. I was involved, lucky enough to be involved in a project back in, what year? Yeah, early, late 2019, early 2020. I did a little project. I was working on a little project with Joe Cornish. He has done an exhibition of pictures of one of the National Trust sites called Brimham Rocks in North Yorkshire. Fantastic place to visit. And the pictures he's done and the project he's done is simply unbelievable. Some fantastic work. Some multimedia stuff. Just incredible images that are worth seeing. You can see some of the pictures at the exhibition at Brimham Rocks, or you can go to his gallery in North Allerton, where there are another set of images, sort of a sister exhibition, if you like. I got involved because the National Trust wanted a video to go alongside the exhibition. So I think Joe got in touch with me, or Joe recommended me rather to the National Trust, which was very, very nice. I then shot a film for Joe talking about his exhibition, and that now sits alongside the exhibition in the visitor centre at Brimham Rocks. That's not really the point. That's not why I was telling you. It's the photography that he's created is just amazing, and you've got to go and see it. That is open now at Brimham Rocks and at his gallery. Just go and check that out as well. Anyway, I think that's enough for now. I'll speak to you or see you again very, very soon. I'm Adam. This is the Raw Room Podcast. Out.